The few first statements that I'm going to make this morning, beginning with this question, I want you not to prejudge. Because if you prejudge, you're going to close your heart to something very wonderful that's coming afterwards. I'm going to do this to get your attention. And I'm going to stick with a subject, but I'm going to come at it totally from a different angle than you ever dreamed of. And so if you're with the first few statements, you're going to brace yourself. I'd suggest just drop the braces. You don't need them. No one's going to get you. But if there's the slightest defense in your heart, this word's not going to be planted in it. It's going to be planted on it. And you can't do anything with it when it's on it. You want it in it. And the heart has to be open for this. And so my first question, my question to you is, are you keeping the Sabbath? Now, that's got everyone's attention, I know, because I could almost answer that for you. But I'm not going to, because then I would be prejudging you. But the question that the Lord asks is, are we keeping the Sabbath? Now, the first way I've learned how to weasel out of directly answering the Lord is asking, well, what do you mean? It's like the man that when Jesus said, what does the law say? Well, you know. And when Jesus mentioned five things out of law, he said, well, those I've kept. Well, are you keeping the Sabbath? Well, it's always a lot of it. Lord, what do you mean? Well, you know, there's two covenants. There's two Sabbaths. You're going to say, I thought there was just one Sabbath. No, in the natural, there are two Sabbaths, Saturday and Sunday. The Gentiles keep Sunday. The Jews keep Saturday, so there's two Sabbaths in the natural. But there are also two Sabbaths. There's the natural Sabbath and the spiritual Sabbath. There's the Old Covenant Sabbath, and there's the New Covenant Sabbath. Are you keeping the Sabbath? Now my first question, our first question, would naturally be, which Sabbath? Which Sabbath? The natural one or the spiritual one? Or if we stay in the natural, the Saturday or the Sunday? Well, I'll let you answer that, but our question before us is which Saturday, or which Sunday, or which Sabbath? To begin with, each covenant had its own rules. The Sabbath for each covenant had its rules. The Old Testament are these. Many more, of course, but let me just give you a gist. The reason I'm going to give you a gist is because I'm not going to speak of the natural one. But we need to start in the natural. Wherefore the children of Israel, and I'm quoting from Exodus 31, verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Now that was an order, that was a commandment. The Old Testament. There's a commandment in the Old Testament. You know, I'm real grateful, and I'll say this before I get into my message, because I know where I'm going, obviously. And then when we get on later into it, you'll know why I said this. But I'm thankful that when heaven viewed all of its creation to find someone who was worthy to open the seals, someone who could judge all men, that Moses wasn't found worthy. I'm going to say this, and I hope he doesn't hear me, but if he does, I hope he understands what I mean. In a way, I'm glad he failed. Because if he'd kept everything, if he hadn't killed the Egyptian, if he hadn't failed at the water, at the rock, my God, if he'd have been found faithful to judge, I think we all would have had it. But God didn't find Moses worthy. He failed too. Bless God for that. But he did find Jesus Christ worthy. But it had to be someone. The only one that could judge is the only one that was found not guilty. The only one that was found that could keep the law in its entirety. The one that could keep the law in all of its perfection. Now, the reason I mention Jesus is because as we leave the natural and go into the spiritual Sabbath, I'm going to use Jesus as an example of one who broke the natural one to keep the spiritual one. And he was counted as not having sinned, not having broken the law. And so I go back to my first question, do you keep the Sabbath? The first thing we do is, well, I haven't been too great at this, but I do try and I attempt once in a while. Well, that's all the best that the nearest kinsman, that is our flesh and our natural man, will ever do. I suppose more is expected of you. If you're going to live by the law, you better live better than that. If you're going to live by the old covenant, I'm going to suggest you better start keeping your Sundays real religiously. From the putting down of the sun on Saturday to the going down of the sun on Sunday, you better do nothing. Not even cook your meals, wash your dishes, you better do nothing. Just come to church, don't put out much effort. Sit there, enjoy it, go home, forget it. And if you're living after the old covenant and not doing any better than that, may I suggest you're a total failure and you have to answer to God for what you're doing. Now, although this might sound terrible to some of you religious folks, I'm delighted this morning to know that I'm a total failure. And so, rather than do 3 out of 10, I'd rather just not do the 3 and collect for all 10. But it did say in the law that we shall keep the Sabbath. Now notice that the old covenant embraced the new one before the new covenant came into existence. Because the new covenant was that of a Sabbath, of a God of a Sabbath. And there's the Sabbath for man and there's the Sabbath of God. Again, the natural and the spiritual. But all of it suggests a pause. All of it suggests a rest. All of it suggests an attitude of pausing, of being still. We all need in our life the pauses, as well as the goes, as well as the stops. Sometimes there's total stops, sometimes there's a pause. This rest is a pause. It's not a word of inaction. It's not when you're absolutely doing nothing, but what you are doing is that you are doing nothing. It's not the absence, it's the fullness. And God wants us to keep the Sabbath. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath. In other words, if you're going to break the old one, you have to be keeping the new one. You can't break them both because the covenant was to be given for perpetual generations. It was a covenant forever. And when God said, thou shalt keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath, I'm going back now to Exodus 31:16, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Now, you cannot break a Sabbath. You can break the Old Testament Sabbath, but you cannot break the Sabbath. If you are going to break the Sabbath, you have to be obeying the New Covenant Sabbath if you break the old one. Now, you can break the New Covenant Sabbath by reverting back to the old one, but you better be good at it. How many here could say that you're so good at keeping the law that you have no fear that you could keep the natural Sabbath and you wouldn't have to bother about the New Covenant one? Let's see your hand. I mean, we haven't heard of the New Covenant one yet, but we have heard of the old one, haven't we? Huh? You bunch of lawbreakers. For goodness sakes. You know, the very lack of your hand being up was a total admittance of your sinfulness, your breaking of the law, and your failure, you know. What a congregation, dear God. Did my hand go up? Now, the very next verse, in verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel. Now, God is speaking of a sign between himself and his children. And he said this sign was to be a sign forever. Now, Jesus broke the old covenant Sabbath, but he kept the new covenant Sabbath while he did it, so therefore he never broke the Sabbath. Now, that's interesting. Jesus himself chose to keep the new one. Now, curious enough, he was given to also keep the old one, lest he annul the old one, because the new one builds on the old. We cannot be lawless. We just live under a law of liberty rather than the law of Moses. Now, here it is. It says, a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, now this is the old covenant, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the 7th day he rested and was refreshed. Now, I'd like to look at the old covenant Sabbath as one that had to do more with us than with God. But God kept it as a testimony for us. For when God worked with natural things, when God created the natural things, when God was busy doing all the things that concern our natural life, creating our world, our trees, our ocean, our suns, our stars, whatever, and man and beast and all kinds of things. When God was busy creating, he then stopped for a whole full day, and he rested from his labor. Now, that has more connotations, more implications, and more translations, really, than just that. Because God not only rested one day physically, as we know a day is a day and night, but God rested for a whole period. God hasn't been creating ever since then. He has been renewing, He's been restoring, but He hasn't been creating. We are still in that rest of God. God will create again. God is a God that is a creator. God is a God who has multiple ideas and waits until the time comes, and there could be 10,000 years or 10 million years between one and another. God hasn't run out of ideas. He didn't invent one just to see if He could invent. God didn't create just to see if it would work. God's been doing this all along. When He does away with this earth and He does away with the heavens and does away with everything else, He said He's going to make new ones. Didn't say He's going to form them out of the old. He said He was going to make them. God will be creating again, but we are living in God's Sabbath. We and everybody in between us and Adam. We are living in God's Sabbath. So the Sabbath with God was a total pause and a rest. God doesn't always create. You say, well, why doesn't God work in the work of knowledge this morning and do all these kind of things like He did a few weeks? Because God doesn't do the same thing over and over and over again. He does things for a period, then He stops and He does something else. God pauses. We can't live in one continual blessing shell out. We live with highs and lows. We breathe. You don't always breathe inhaling. You'd explode. We have to let out and then breathe in. God has seasons. He's not always creating. God's not always working in His power. God's not always healing, but God does heal. There's seasons of refreshings. There's seasons for this. There's seasons for that. And this is a season of rest. Now, if God is still keeping from Adam to this day His rest, why then should not we? For the servant is not greater than the master. We have to keep our Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, because Christ had not come, because there was not the fullness of redemption, they could only keep the natural Sabbath, but that, like everything else in the Old Testament, was a type of the real. That wasn't the real. We are living in the real. You say, well, what is it? We'll get to it. If I get too long, you can leave and the rest of them can find out. But you see, everything in the Old Testament was a type. It wasn't the real. And so when they kept the Sabbath, that is, i.e., they stopped everything, they put a pause in it. They were reflecting God's Sabbath, which He was keeping in perpetual generations forever and ever, because it was a covenant and it was a sign. God called it two things, a covenant and a sign. So when I ask you, are you keeping the Sabbath? Let me now interpose into that statement one that's very beneficial to you and me. We should keep the Sabbath, and we have to keep the Sabbath, because God said, thou shalt. Now, He didn't say, thou shalt keep the old covenant one forever, because how can we in a world and in an age of reality live in the type? We can no longer live in the type. We must live in the reality. And when Christ came, He just shifted on over into the covenant of reality. He shifted over into the covenant that was actuality, not the one that was the type of, because He was the fulfillment. And so then He lived in the fulfillment of it. Now, how can we, who have come after Christ and who are in Christ, live after the old one, which is a type, when we have the real? But nonetheless, we must keep the Sabbath. And if our answer, after we know what the natural and spiritual one is, the old and the new, after we know the covenants that God has made, the covenants of Sabbath, we don't keep them at all, well, I must suggest you better. There are many times that the Lord said, you broke the Sabbath, and because of it, this, that, and that, and that has come upon you. Now, there are consequences to not keeping the Sabbath. Just like there's consequences for not keeping the type of the Sabbath, which is the Old Covenant Sabbath, so is there with the New Covenant Sabbath. But they are different. They are different because they are obeyed in a different way, they are disobeyed in a different way, and the consequences are different. But either way, we must obey the Sabbath. Our answer to that question should have been, yes, I am keeping the Sabbath. If not, after this message, start keeping it. We must obey the Sabbath. We must live in God's Sabbath. God is not creating any longer. We have a statement where He said, well, everything's been invented, has been invented. God hasn't created everything that He can create. But God has pause. You put a recorder in pause, it doesn't mean you stop. You go home, you just say, I'm going to interrupt you for a while. Just hold here, and I'm going to do something else. And how many times have I told you in a service just to hold for a little while and just wait on the Spirit until new directions come? That holding, that pause, that sila of the Psalms, that pause and meditate, that just pause, not stop, not quit, not get up off your knees and leave. He just says, stay where you are, just hold steady, just shut up. Be quiet. Just think, meditate on this. Now that is God's Sabbath. He said, don't you just work, 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 work. You'll turn into a workaholic and you'll drop dead half in your lifetime. You might as well live out your whole lifetime. And if you wouldn't like to do it, ask your wife or family. They would certainly like you to live longer. And we come to a place where we're just all work, all work, all work, all work, all work until you go crazy, drop dead, and that's it. Well, God did work, but then He quit. We're stupid. We work and don't know when to quit. God said, keep the Sabbath. And if we can't keep the spiritual one, the New Testament one, we should, for goodness sakes, keep the old one. I find the old one quite hard to adhere to, and by the absence of hands this morning, I would say you're finding it pretty difficult too. Now, may I suggest that our old and carnal nature that finds it so hard to keep a natural Sabbath is going to find it harder to keep the newer one. Did you hear that? Don't be too quick to say, well, I'm going to the new one, whatever it is, because the old one I find it hard to keep. Look, the new one is harder to keep than the old one. But, it is possible, there is a slight possibility of being able to keep the new one, but there is no possibility of ever being able to perfectly keep the old one. Impossible. In the world that we live, impossible. I mean, you're driving to church, all four wheels fall off, what do? You just sit there until next day, freezing in your car. No, you don't. You can put the four stupid wheels on, you're going to go wherever you're going to go. It's impossible. In the day and age in which we live, you cannot. You cannot keep a perfect Sabbath. But God is still in His Sabbath. And He declared, and I'm going to run through this two verses real quick now, and then we're going to leave the natural one and go into the other one. First of all, it was a commandment, thou shalt. Second of all, there is an observance of it. Third of all, it should be throughout all generations. And fourth of all, it should be a covenant, but a covenant that was to last perpetually. So God made it a covenant, God made it a sign, because in the 17th verse it said, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the 7th day He rested and was refreshed. And someone says, well, why in the world does God need to rest so long? Because He's being refreshed. Haven't you ever realized when the refreshings from the Spirit of the Lord come, they all seem too short? Well, then don't be in a rush to break the Sabbath. I like God's Sabbath. If His Sabbaths are refreshings, I want more. I'm not interested at all in keeping the Sabbaths. But anyway, lest I jump ahead, we're going to start on another Sabbath. Now, I said that the real, don't be too quick to jump in and say, well, I want the real because the old one's hard. Because, listen to this, the demands of the old covenant Sabbath was that you keep one day out of the week. The demands of the new covenant Sabbath is that you keep 7 days of the week. Wow. Now where are you going to go? Back or forward? Huh? I don't know. You can't just toss it up and forget it. You really can't. You got to keep the Sabbath. God said it will be perpetual throughout all generations. You've got to keep it. Thou shalt keep it. It's one or the other. You just can't drop them both. If you throw one up, you better grab the other one. This new covenant Sabbath was to be kept 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's like the 1-800 numbers. You can forget living any other way. Well, why is it demand so high? Because the privileges and the things that go with it are so wonderful. And Christ, who had the choice, chose to live in the new one and not the old one, and He was criticized bitterly for it. If you want to turn to John chapter 5, verse 16, I'll start in the middle of the criticism. Now, they bitterly criticized. In fact, there was more than just bitter criticism. They wanted to kill Him. They were so incensed with this man who broke the natural Sabbath. They didn't understand anything about the spiritual Sabbath or the new Sabbath. They didn't understand anything about God's Sabbath. All they understood is that they had the law and this guy wasn't keeping it. And they were so mad at him, they wanted to stone him. Not necessarily because he didn't keep the Sabbath, but because he claimed to be God and did it. Well, if he was keeping the spiritual Sabbath that his father was keeping, Jesus said, what I see the Father do, that I do. The Father was still keeping his Sabbath. He wasn't keeping a one-day Sabbath. He was keeping a forever and perpetual covenant. The Father was still on his rest period. That's a long rest period. And so Jesus said, if my Father, claiming to be, of course, his Son and equal with God, which burned them up, because if he was God, why didn't he keep the law? Well, he did. He kept the higher law, for he was God, the God of the law. And like I said, you can break one if you have the higher one, but you can't just drop them both. And so Jesus dropped one and picked up the other. But John chapter 5, verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. Now, why did they persecute Jesus? It said, and they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, remember, that which covenant was that he was breaking? The old one. The one that the prophets so spoke about. Now remember that that was a type of the new, so you can't just throw it out completely. That's going to show you what the new one was really like. If you go through the Old Testament, you know how to interpret it in the ways of the Spirit, you'll understand what every one of those prophets really meant and what God was really trying to say to his people. But see, here these people, they were persecuting him. They just couldn't stand him because how could he claim to be God and then break his own law? But Jesus answering them in the very next verse says, my Father worketh. Now, I just said that he had paused. Because that's where the natural and the spiritual covenant differ. God's rest is not a stop. The type was not perfect in that all labor ceased. The new covenant one, which was perfect, labor could exist, but it wasn't our labor, it was God's labor. And Jesus said, as long as he's laboring, I'm laboring. Because when God stopped and refreshed himself, he stopped creating, but God didn't stop. For goodness sakes, if God had stopped, where'd we all be today? If God quit working, then what's been happening for the last few months here? Who's been doing that? You say, well, God's at rest, the Holy Spirit's doing it. Don't be silly. God didn't stop. God didn't take a forever sabbatical. He's working. And Jesus said, if he's working, I'll keep his Sabbath. He said, well, do you have a different day of the week? No, he said, we have every week, every day of the week. And they just, first of all, they could never understand Jesus because they try to bring him down to the natural. They try to bring him down to the earthly. They try to make him live in the type when he was the fulfillment of the type. He was above the law. He didn't eradicate it. He came to build on top of it. He came to give something better, not instead of. And now in the verse 17, he says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, the Father works, and I work. Now verse 19, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, that means of an assurance, you can count on this, this is as true as any truth will ever be. Don't adulterate it, don't take away a jot or a tittle of it, because it's exactly like I'm saying unto you. I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. That, my friends, is the new covenant Sabbath. He's talking about the Sabbath. They're questioning him about the Sabbath, and his answer is, what I see the Father do, I do, but the Son can do nothing of himself. That word nothing is Sabbath. The Son can do nothing of himself. I've ceased of my own works. I don't do whatever he does, and I do with him. Whatever he doesn't do, I don't try to do. The Son can do nothing. Look, if you don't have anything underlined in your Bible, underline those words. The Son can do nothing. And if the Son of God, how much the sons of God? Jesus said, without me ye can do what? Nothing. So why on earth do we try? Do you know that when we try to do something about our state, we're not keeping the Sabbath? So if you're not keeping the spiritual Sabbath, you better, for goodness sakes, keep the old one. But it doesn't sound to me like we keep either one. You see, Jesus said, in answer to the question, my Father worketh, the Son can do nothing. Now I want you, if you can in your Bibles, I did it here on my computer, but if you could on your Bibles, I want you to just underline these three words in John 5:17, my Father worketh. Just do that. And then go down to verse 19 where it says, the Son can do nothing of himself. Underline that. And now look at both underlines. It says this, my Father worketh, the Son can do nothing of himself. Now, if you do nothing for yourself, does it mean that nothing gets done? No, the Father worketh. Because when you do nothing, He works. When you do something, He doesn't. But you better keep the old covenant then. If you're going to put it down to works, if you want to work, if you want to work this thing out, if you're trying to help God out, then go back to the Old Testament because that was the covenant of works. And then you better, for goodness sakes, keep a day in the week where you hallow it for the Lord and do nothing like the Jews do. That's why my question when we first started was, do you keep the Sabbath? Now we're down to which one? I don't care either one. But I'll tell you what's easier. When you really get down to it, when you finally understand what God's true Sabbath is, it is so easy, although there's more days a week, and whatever, it's so easy that you will never attempt to either bother with the old covenant one, because that's really hard. When you come to the place where you realize and you can make a statement like Jesus made. Now, this is the Son of God making that statement. First, He declared He was the Son of God. Then He said He couldn't do anything. Well, if He was the Son of God, how could He say He couldn't do anything? For God, well, God, all things are possible. He can do all things. Because Jesus said that while He was in the flesh and on the earth, He could do nothing because the Father worked. If God is doing something, what on earth are you doing? How can you improve on His work? Huh? We try to improve on His creation, but, I mean, can you improve on His work? Can you, really? Can you make the body any more perfect? Could you find a vein you'd put where he forgot one? A little neuron somewhere where He left one out? A little cell in the brain He forgot? I mean, could you improve on His works? Jesus said, the Father worketh, and when He works, I cease. That was His Sabbath. He was keeping the Sabbath. He was breaking the old one in that He was working with the flesh. He was dealing with this man, dealing with that. He was healing the sick. He was doing this. And besides, He said to them that they were hypocrites because although the law demanded it, every one of them, if they had a cattle or if they had a working animal that fell in a hole and was going to break his leg, He said they'd at least help the animal out of compassion to an animal. I guess in those days they had the problem in America. They treated their animals better than humans anyway. But the Jesus saying that they were hypocrites because although they demanded such a high tolerance for the law, they themselves broke it out of compassion. And how much more than the Son of God when He dealt with compassion with human beings? But according to them, it was all right to help an animal, but not to help a human being who was all twisted up and an invalid. And Jesus said, the Father did the work. So I just went over there and told Him that God was healing him. That's all. He said, I didn't do it. The Father did it. And if He does it on your Sabbath, that's your tough luck. He said, I don't count the days of the week to see which one He was. That's what gave the Gentiles a great liberty to have another day besides Saturday. Because Jesus broke the Saturdays, so everybody else said it must have been another day, so we tried another one. But really, it's not the other one. It's all of them. Stop working and let God. Let go. Let God. Stop. Let Him. He said, what kind of Sabbath is that? It's a marvelous Sabbath. It's a marvelous Sabbath. The day you start, the first day you begin to obey that Sabbath, you find it so wonderful you never want to go back to the law again. Once you live by the law of life, you never want to go back to the law of death. Once you live in the law of the Spirit, you can never, never, ever, ever fulfill the lusts of the flesh, which are to live by the law, abide by the law, or break them and abide under the punishment of them. That is hard. To quit, give up, and say as Jesus did, I can do nothing, and begin a perpetual Sabbath of just floating on His eternal care and just doing what He asked me to do. That doesn't mean that you just act like the devil after that. No, you're not going to act like the devil because the Father worketh. I just cease. I'm not trying to work out my own salvation. I remember some people being so mad. I'd say to them, but you're trying to be saved. He said, well, what do you think? Who wants to go to hell? Well, I don't know. I don't want to be to hell. But I'm not mad that I can't save me either. I'm incensed at somebody else because they don't want me to keep going. Look, until you come into the Sabbath of rest, you will never know what it's like to please God. And if there was a choice between you working and him working, let me tell you, you're stupid to even try. But we do. But we do. I'm here to tell you, the Lord wants you to tell you to start obeying the Sabbath, you bunch of lawbreakers, and to obey the one that's so easy that from now on you're just going to relax. But you know, there's a price to it. There's always a price to it. It's always difficulty. What are the difficulties? You can't sweat it anymore. You can't fret it anymore. You can't worry anymore. You can't be anxious anymore. You've got to just float. You say, well, Lord, I have a hard time floating. Well, I didn't say keeping the Sabbath was easy, did I? Huh? Wasn't the whole idea of the Sabbath, whether old or new, up or down, natural or spiritual, wasn't the whole idea of the thing to cease labors? Well, then why should the spiritual one be different than the natural one? It's not. It's above it. In that, God now worketh, and I have ceased in my labors, just like he ceased creating. Now I cease trying to improve on his creation. You say, well, it's fallen. It's not like God made it, so if I fell, I'm going to get up. No. It says the just man falls, but God will raise him up. He'll get up all right. He won't live in that misery. He'll fall. See, I don't live under the law. When the law tries to condemn me, and boy, I have sometimes. Sometimes in my life, either by the enemy or my own stupidity, I don't know which, but stupid it is either way, I get to where I try to convince God that I can do it, and so I go back and try to obey those laws, and the more I read them, the more I find it offensive to my natural man and to my carnal man. And one day I was reading the Bible several years ago, and I said, God, this is impossible. There's just too many of them. And I can't even find one I like. They're offensive to me. They're awkward to me. I find that when I try it, I do it for 2-3 days and then I don't. But see, my whole idea is that if I can get him to forgive me and forget it, then I got a fresh new start. Stupid me. You don't want a fresh new start. You want to quit, die, final. Go into your Sabbath that God went into when he created and then stopped. If you'd stop as long as he did, you'd be converted quicker than you are. The only reason it takes so long is because you're not obeying the Sabbath. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. Threw his hands up like this. I can do nothing of myself. What I see the Father do, now, you see, now, these things I can do. When the Lord's doing something through you, you can do it. But God works in one thing at a time. You're trying to work at all of it to try to get this nice picture. It doesn't work. Just work on what he asked you to do. What did he ask you to do this week? Just do that. He said, well, then that's me doing it. No, it isn't. It's the Father doing it. He's working on something. Now work on it together. Go into an absolute rest. The enemy will come and say, look, you haven't kept it very well. I'm sorry, I'm on a rest. No, 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 come on, you got to do something with it. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm on a rest. You better take a rest too. God said, thou shalt keep the Sabbath. Fortunately, he didn't say the old one, or I would have really been stuck with that. He said, thou shalt keep. It is a covenant. It is a covenant. I make my promise. The vows are there, and it shall be a sign between me and thee for perpetual generations. Now, Jesus came to the place where he said, look, I can do nothing of myself. In verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. The Father showeth him all things that he doeth. All things that he doeth. All things that he doeth. Not we doeth, he doeth. It's not God and me, it's God, period. Know me. It goes beyond what Catherine Coleman said. None of me and more of thee. It's all of thee and none of me. That's where she got to. That's the Sabbath. That's the Sabbath of God. None of me and all of thee. And the enemy comes and says, hey, look, if you do that, you know what kind of a Christian life you're going to lead? I mean, what if you can't really hear God? Oh, he can get through to you. Don't worry. I find more growth in people that keep the Sabbath than in those that don't. Doesn't that amaze you? Far more growth. Spiritual advancement, and all the rest in the obedience of God's command, thou shalt keep the Sabbath. Now, let me give you an example. Peter. Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. And then he turns around and says to him in John 13:36, just 3 years later, he said, Peter, when Peter asked Jesus where he was going, Jesus said to Peter, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Now, wait a minute. Just 3 years before, Jesus had said to him, follow me. Now, Peter dropped everything, left everything in the natural, and followed him. He left his nets, he left his boat, he left his family, he left his home, he left everything, and followed him. Now, halfway down the line, Jesus turns around to him and says, Peter, I've got to go. He said, well, I'm going with you. You said, follow me. He said, no, you can't follow me. Where I'm going, you cannot come. Wait a minute. So what do you mean I cannot come? I can do everything. He said, well, not necessarily. He said, where I'm going, you're going to sign off. He said, no, I'm not. He said, look, before the cock crows, you're going to do it three times. You're going to do it. There's a sign-off point to everybody. You see, it's just a matter of how far down the line God's got to take you, but there is a day where you're going to start keeping the Sabbath. There's a day of awakening. There is a, sometimes rude, but there is a day of marvelous deliverance. That day of deliverance, that day of freedom, that day of emancipation, it's when you start keeping the Sabbath, for goodness sakes, once and for all, where you cease and God begins, where you come into that perpetual and eternal rest, that rest of faith, that rest of belief, that rest in God, a rest that He worketh. Jesus said, He worketh hitherto. Therefore I work. It wasn't Jesus' work, because He said, I can do nothing of myself. Now, later on, it wasn't that He didn't have the gifts of healing. The Spirit was given to Him without measure. Of course He could heal someone at His will. He said so later. But He wasn't talking about the gift. He was talking about Himself. And now, as we come into that rest of faith, as we come into the Sabbath, the perpetual, eternal, lasting Sabbath of rest, if we live by the Sabbath, if we live by faith, you cannot then revert to works because you break the Sabbath when you work. Isn't that simple? Now here's Peter. He said, Lord, you told me that in my own strength, I would follow you. You said to me, Peter, you follow me. And I said, Lord, I've been faithful ever since. I've been able to do it. I've been able to keep your word. I've been able to follow you. Here it goes. Lord, I'll follow you. He said, well, I'm going to the cross. He said, I'll go there too. He said, no, you won't. You're too cowardly to do that. He said, no, I will. He said, no, you won't. Take something more than you to be able to go on a cross, stay there, and remain there until you die. In your own strength, Peter, you can't do that. But I've got some good news for you. And the good news is the remainder of this verse that I deliberately chose not to read, and I will deliberately choose to read it now. When I said to you that Jesus said to him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, he said, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Thou canst not follow me now, but thou canst follow me afterwards. Now, there's two interpretations. The natural one is that Jesus was to die and prepare a place for him, and Peter would go later. The spiritual one was that in his own strength, Peter wouldn't, and when he met the day of emancipation, when he met the day where he came to the total conviction that in his own strength he couldn't make it, when Peter was standing before those people warming their hands by the fire, on the fire, and they came to him and he cursed and denied and swore that he never had met Christ or anything, he went out and suddenly the realization hit him. Jesus had said he couldn't do it. And here was the fulfillment of it. He'd come to the end of himself. He'd come to that place, glorious day, glorious revelation in the life of each and every one of us. When you come to that place where you are convinced beyond every shadow of doubt, and if it takes God whatever experience is going to take Him to do it, He's going to do it. You are going to have a doomsday just like Peter, if you haven't had yours already. Why? Because that is the ushering into the new day. That is the ushering into the Sabbath of the Lord. That is the ushering into the rest of faith. That is the entering into a place where you let go and just let God say, Lord, this is the best I'll ever be. And choose a day when you're at your worst and say, God, this is my best. You see, Peter was convinced that he could do it. He was crucified upside down, right side up any day, right beside Christ to destroy everybody else. He could hang there too and die. But wait a minute. When you realize, hey, that's it. He got cold feet. And here he was, wiping his hand, also cocking, sure. He knew Jesus said, you can't, but he wasn't convinced that he couldn't. And Jesus said, look, you can't now. The day will come when you will. And you know, the day did come when he did. Didn't he? You know what happened between the two? Two big things. First, he came to himself and he realized that he had fallen completely and he was unable to do it. He knew he had broken both Sabbaths and he had it. And second of all, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ just a little bit later when he breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And from that day forward, he became another man and let the Holy Spirit live through him. And that Holy Spirit took him to his own cross and he hung on it and died. What he could not do in the flesh, he could now do by the Spirit. Because you see, the Sabbath is a day of the Lord. The Sabbath is a day when God worketh, when His Holy Spirit works in us. Without Him, we can do nothing. Unless we come to a place of absolute abandonment of faith and begin keeping the Sabbath is kept the day the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to live in our life through us. It's His working, not ours. As long as He's working, we can work. When He's not working, all it is just works of righteousness, works of the flesh, man trying to shine some briny points before God. God said, you cannot. Well, Lord, why'd you tell me to follow you? And then you tell me I can now. So when will it be? Well, you know Jesus was going to heaven and he knew Peter couldn't follow now. And so he said afterwards, that's a natural interpretation of it. But the scriptures can always be interpreted by the Spirit and the principle of it by far beyond the point of impact into the realm of the prophetics. And Jesus was saying unto him, because remember, all these things took place and Jesus was the one who was already living that perpetual Sabbath. He was in that Sabbath. He just rested in his faith. He rested in God's love. He rested in his works. He wasn't out there drumming it up. He wasn't trying to see if he did or not. He wasn't ever looking behind him to see. He didn't go to the Bible and look behind him every day to make sure every law was obeyed, because if goodness sakes he didn't, something had gone wrong. No. He just walked. He was so full of the Spirit, how could he fall? If we stayed filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a good thing this morning we were singing that. Lord, come and fill this temple once again. I need to do that 3 times a day at least. Daniel found it 3 times a day, and I'm not even Daniel. I better do it 6 times a day. Get filled up. Keep filled up. Because that is the Sabbath of the Lord. You cannot in your own strength. And what God has to do is bring to you perplexing, disastrous circumstances to bring you to the proving ground. And you've been there so many times already. Why don't you just get convinced, die, and get it over with and say, Lord, I'm going to begin keeping the Sabbath anymore. I just can't break the old one and the new one. I'm going to start keeping the new one. It's easier. I give up. I quit. I'm not going to try to reform this. I'm not going to try to change this. I'm not going to try to make it better. I'm not even going to try to make it, period. Now, if you quit and you don't enter the rest of faith, you've had it. So it's not just saying, all right, Lord, I'm going to live like I want to. What's the sense? After all, they pray for me and I fall and he doesn't change me and he comes to me and suddenly he's glorious and then he's gone and I don't understand and I don't want to go on anymore and trying to make it to heaven is too hard. I might as well just slip into hell and get it over with and all these despondencies and discouragements and all these things. Look, just keep the Sabbath and get it over with. That Sabbath of faith. Do you know that it's impossible to keep the spiritual Sabbath without looking up? You say, well, how does that have anything to do with anything? I'll show you. When Jesus was dealing with the Sabbath and they were dealing with the Sabbath, he says, what I see the Father do. Now, the Father isn't down there. The Father's up there. And how can you see unless your eyes are up? Unless your whole attitude is one of faith. Unless your whole attitude is one of dependency and of trust. And you're constantly looking upward. How would you see what he's doing if you're looking down? If you're looking at yourself, you're not looking at him. Jesus took a look at himself and he said to himself, I can do nothing. And so he looked up and he said, oh, the Father's doing it. Great. Hallelujah. I'll rest. Why bother to work when he's doing it? That's what you folks do. He said, no, we don't. Yes, you do. The moment I step on this platform, you cease working out here. I know. Do I ever know? Why? Because I got to start working. And I do the same thing to God. That's called a heave offering. Say, Lord, you work, because I can't. Praise God. And so this rest isn't just a stop and a giving up. And we can keep that Sabbath any day. Just give up.
Oh, just hang down in all despondency. Lord, I quit. You know, I've tried. I can't please you. It's too hard. Besides,
hey, listen. It's a rest of faith. Look up there. Oh, he's doing it. He's working. Hitherto is the Father working. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As the Holy Spirit comes into our life as that filling of His Spirit of power and of might to whom all things are possible begins to flood our soul. You know, when Jesus stood there before Peter and He said, and He had already told him to follow Him, and then He told him He couldn't for now. Then He breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And from that day forward, I began to see a man who could do it. Peter came into rest. He didn't try on his own anymore. He knew that the best he had on his own ended up in cursing, swearings, and denial. That was his best. He said, I'm not going to try that anymore. And so then he began to live by the Spirit and just go into the rest of faith. Folks, that is the New Testament Sabbath. Live in the Sabbath. Obey the Sabbath. Should we obey the Sabbath? Yes. Should we keep it? Yes. What happens to those who break the covenant of the Sabbaths? Well, for those who break the Old Testament covenant, you find out what it says. It's all too clear. And the New Testament covenant, those that break it, I don't need to explain to you. You know all about it already. All these things that I described to you are the symptoms of the disease you get when you quit the Sabbath. Despondency, unbelief, fear, dread, being overcome. Some people say, well, you know, if all faith does is just make you feel good, well, if that's all it really did, it's better than looking like some of you and me do sometimes. Isn't that right? It's a perpetual covenant, and it's possible to keep. Keep the Sabbath, you lawbreakers. Keep the Sabbath. Now, once you find out what the Sabbath's really like, and you find out that you don't really have to keep the old one as long as you keep the new one, that is easy. Because then the new one goes down to one thing only, whatsoever things I ask of you, do. You only have to worry about what he's dealing with. You only have to worry about what he's talking with. As long as you deal with that, all the rest are covered. Whereas in the law, you have to cover all the rest. All of them, period. In the law, you have to obey it all. Here, you just, whatsoever things he commands you, that do. And I thank God that he doesn't command five things at once. He just commands one, and he harps on it and keeps on it until he changes your life in that area, and then he starts on something else. And you keep saying, Lord, there's all these areas that I could suggest to you that need changing. And you know, for some reason, God starts on the inside and then goes outside, so he can't say of you and his own work that it is whited sepulchres, that it's good on the outside and is at a empty death within. And so God starts on the inside. We always want him to start his work on the outside. But whatsoever the Father doeth, that I do. And if he starts on the inside, why do you start on the outside? You're saying on the outside, hey, everything's fine inside, and it's not. And when God took care of one of the things inside, maybe what he worked on is a broken heart, and it took him 5 years to just work on that, and all the rest remains out there hanging out for everybody to see. You say, good God, how can these people be in revival after revival and still live this way? I'll tell you how. They're keeping the Sabbath. And that, my friends, listen to this. That is what enraged and infuriated who? The Pharisees. Because they were the keepers of the old covenant. That infuriated them. He claimed to be perfect. He claimed to be the Son of God. And he broke the rules. He had faith that went beyond the rules. He had faith in the God of the rules. He was keeping the Sabbath. He wasn't breaking it. But they were too dull and dense to find out. They didn't come asking, well, Lord, how is it? I know you wouldn't break the Sabbath. You are the Son of God. You said so. You wouldn't lie. Well, how is this then? He would have stopped and he would have had a chat with them like I'm having with you. And then it all made sense. Well, for goodness sakes, that sure makes a lot of sense. No, you know what they want to do? They want to kill the man. They want to get him out of here. How can this be God and not fit in our little brains? God said this. He broke every single one of them. This. Nitpick. The Pharisees.
Oh, this is wonderful. Now, the commandment of Jesus came to Peter. We're going to go back to Peter a minute. The commandment of Jesus came to Peter. He said, follow me. Did the man try? How many would give him at least an A for his effort? Huh? I would. Now, if I come to my rest of faith, there better be someone able, willing, capable. If someone's going to take my place, if he's saying, hey, just wait here. It's the word of the Holy Spirit to the bride of Christ. It's the word of Naomi to Ruth. You wait here, be still, because he won't let this matter go until he works it out. Well, he better be able to work it out, because I've got a lot of things hanging on the line if he can't come through. Hell is real, folks. I've got devils down there saying, hey, he quit, he's trusting in God. And you look at these devils having glee over you, and your mighty faith begins to shrink. And you look up and you say, are you sure you're able? I mean, you've asked me to just rest and trust you to work the whole thing out. And every once in a while, I got to come and say, Lord, are you still working? He said, I see the Father. And what was his words? What was his answer? The Father, what? Himself doeth. You didn't underline that, did you, in verse 20? Underline that. That the Father himself. Does that mean with you? Isn't that word an exclusive word? Well, come on, you know-it-alls. Is it an exclusive word? Now I know who the know-it-alls are. It is. Himself. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't want your help. Slip into your Sabbath, glorious day of emancipation, and stop. Someone says, what's happening to you? Aren't you working on straightening yourself up? No, he said, I'm on a Sabbath. What kind of a thing is that? I don't know. Go ask Robert. He seems to know. I'll tell you what a picture of Sabbath is. My dad over there. He's just sitting there enjoying it. He's not even working. He began his Sabbath a long time ago. He found out years and years and years ago. He told me one time we were chatting about some of these things. He said, look, I came to a place where I just tell God every day whenever I can. I said, Lord, you know that if you leave me for 5 minutes, I'm going to make one mess of my life, so you better keep upholding it. But you see, in that rest, there's also a complete abandonment in the Holy Spirit. We must come to the place where we're convinced of our utmost dependency on the Holy Spirit. And we can sing songs like, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Or thou art welcome, Holy Spirit, in this place. Why? Or these songs like we sang this morning. Why? Because we are in our rest. And rest, when I am in it, means that he must be at work. God is still at rest in his creation. But he's at work at everything. God who worketh in us both to do of his pleasure and the willing of his pleasure within us. God is working. But he cannot work if you're working. For goodness sakes, start obeying the Sabbath. Keep it. You say, well, you have to have a lot of faith that way. Bingo. Wasn't that the whole idea? Wasn't that the whole thought behind it? Wasn't the simplicity of faith the whole object? Even for Abraham, who just chose to believe God on a certain issue that he'd spoken to him, but he believed God. He knew God was able. It said so. In fact, when he was tried up there on the mountain with Isaac, it said he knew God could bring him back from the dead if he had to. So what was killing him? It was just a little process. The kid go through it, not the father. The father wasn't worried. He knew that Christ, that God could bring him back from the dead. He was able. That unbending, unyielding faith, simple and unadulterated, that is the Sabbath of God, the rest for the people of God, when we cease in our labors and God begins. Is he able? I'm going to go through these really quick. First of all, he has to be like we are. And so it says in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as his children are partakers of flesh and blood, so he himself also took
upon himself the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, the devil. And in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. Why should you live with the cursings when he took them? But if you're going to live under the old covenant, then you've got to take the curse that goes with it. The devil's trying to get at me one time through Saul and sometimes through Solomon. I think every Christian, at one time or another, God's used this Saul bit and this Solomon bit. He should have just not written the rest of the Bible. He wouldn't have needed it. This business of rebellion and this business of idolatry, that can get anybody. And oh, how this would happen and that would happen and that would happen and that would happen. Of course it's going to happen. If you're going to live working it out yourself, you can count on it. If you quit, give up and say, Lord, you know, that's the best that could ever happen out of me doing it. I quit. I'm going to join my Sabbath. I sign off here. I'm going to die and I'm going to quit. I'm going to cease and let you. Does that mean you're not going to pray anymore? You're not going to do anything? No, it's not the absence of doing. God is doing whatsoever the Father doeth, that I see him do what Jesus said. I just relax and let him do it. That's what you do with me up here. That's not what he said he was doing with the Father. He said what he saw the Father do, that what? He did. Why? Because all other things aside from that, he couldn't do on his own. And you have the, listen to this, you have the power to do what God's dealing with you to do, because that's what he's working on. If you work on anything else and everything else, you will fail at it. But if you work on what he is working with, you will triumph, because I can do all things through Christ who in me is that strength to do it. I like this. I'm getting something out of it anyway. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, which means by death, the redemption of transgression that were under the first testament, they which were called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. But you see, Christ had to be our substitute. That's why in Titus 2:14 it says, who giveth himself for us, that's a substitute, that he, not we, might redeem us, not ourselves, from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar and zealous people of good works. He, not we. God is going to work in us and cannot until we cease working. And so that is one of the greatest causes or effects to this cause. I said everything bears its penalty. In the Old Testament, you can find out what they are. I'm more interested in the new one because that's the one I'm going to keep. You know what one of the penalties is? When you do, he doesn't. And when you keep your Sabbath, he does. Do something. And so the best way to get God to stop working in your life is to start working yourself. And anyone and everyone who's working at whatever they're working at on their own, God ceased. When you work, God ceases. When you cease, he works. You know what I'd say? Any smart person would say, I cease. But then let me ask you, why on earth do you fight so long? Why do you try? Why do you work at it so much? Some of you up here, Lord, I can't really come into your presence. I've been such a scum all week long. Hey, glory. Glory for what? The scum? No, the fact you know it. Now, if you believed what you knew, all glory would come down out of heaven for you, because God can now work. Problem is that we know it, and we're trying to convince him that we're going to change that now. If he'd just come and bless us a little bit, look, die, get it over with. That's what it means. To crucify the flesh means to not let this natural man work anymore. You know, the crucifixion, all it was, is an inhibiting factor. They pinned their hands down so they couldn't use them. They pinned their feet down so they couldn't use them. They just hung there. He said, do that to the old cursed man. You can't work if your hands are pinned up on a cross. You can't go anywhere if your feet are pinned down. Nail it, he said, crucify the thing. What did he really mean? That you go around and you can't enjoy the pleasures of life anymore? No, buddy, I can't eat that. That's too much of a delight. I just stick to just plain rice. Don't be stupid. He giveth us all things freely to enjoy, so why are you acting like a dummy? I mean, don't we do things that are dumb? Isn't it easier just to crucify the thing daily and get this thing over with?
glorious day. We have come to the knowledge of ourselves and our condition, but we don't believe it. We're not convinced of it. Peter was smarter than we. After that night, he was really smart after that. He never made those kind of statements. He just quit. And when the Lord says, you know, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because without Him, you can't do it in your own strength. He was a target for it. He said, give me some of this. In Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His what? Grace through the redemption that is in who? Huh? The redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, where's the redemption? In you or in me? Well, then why do I try to lay hold of it? It's in Him. Can you steal it from Him? Can you cry, oh, God, I'm so needy? Can you get it out of Him that way? Can you twist His arm and bend it? Huh? How many have tried that? You see what I'm saying? You see, the redemption is in Him. We have to come to where we see the faith of God, faith in Christ, redemption that is in Him. He's the one doing it. He's the one working it. He worked it out between Him and the Father 2,000 years before you and I were born. And He's still working it out between the Father because He stands there interceding for you and me. And it wasn't even your prayers. It was His prayers. It wasn't your redemption. It was His redemption. It wasn't your plan. It was His plan. So why even bother with you stupid little thing? Just quit and sit down. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye, but of Him, oh, you gotta look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:30. My computer got it right, then you'll find it. But of Him that is God are ye, that is us, in who? Oh, I like that. I like that. I'm gonna let you find it. That's another one you should put a little asterisk beside. But of Him that is God are ye, that is us, in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. That is Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So why can you have that apart from Christ? How can we have His redemption when God's working it in His Son? You will never have redemption without God's Son, because redemption is in Him. You will never have sanctification, because sanctification is Him. You'll never have wisdom, because wisdom is Him. You'll never have redemption, because redemption is in Him. The only way that you can have any or all of these, you know what it is? Is just to have Him. That was simple, wasn't it? You have Him and you have it all. You try to go over here and try to work it on yourself, you'll have nothing. Just come over here, relax, stop, quit, and just say, Lord, I'll just have You. That is why relationship, and that is why His person living in our soul is of far higher value than all the other things you can be preached at and all the other things you could try to endeavor to do in all your life. It's just best to come and have a little time with Jesus and have Him renew that strength of His energies and powers and life and sanctification and wisdom and power and redemption within your soul because He is in there. Just make sure He's there. Just make sure He's communicating. Just make sure He's working. You look up. Keep looking up. He's working. While you're looking up, He's working. When you're working, He quits. For goodness sakes, let's start obeying the Sabbath. How many want to obey the Sabbath? Oh, if we could only just do it. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption. In whom? Us? No, Christ. We have redemption through whose blood? Whose sacrifice? Whose work? It says, His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of your grace. No, wait, my grace. No, according to the riches of His grace, I get forgiveness for my sins. So I don't even have to worry about my sins. If I'm in Him, I don't have to worry about anything. I'm on a Sabbath. You say you should work. No, I tried that route. I've already discovered that I can't obey the Sabbath of the first covenant. You can forget that. I'll take my chances with the latter one. And chances they are, because I have to keep looking up and say, you sure you're still working? Because I sure don't feel nothing down here. Lord, you know, you start inside and I don't have eyes to see inside. Are you sure you're still working in there? What do you think the children of the parents in Egypt felt? Mom, Dad, did you paint that door? Oh, come on, son. Hey, Dad, my life is on the line.
See, he couldn't go out to look. He had to be inside safe. Daddy, you sure? You painted that door? He said, yes, son, I went out. Could you go out and look one more time? You see, this business of faith isn't all that easy either. Are you sure you're working? I can't go in there and see, but are you sure? Look and take another look. Are you sure? So why are you so worried? My life is on the line. Are you sure? He said, well, you can be as sure as you keeping the Sabbath that I'm working. What was that? I said, you can be as sure that I'm working as you're keeping the Sabbath. What do you mean by that? He said, if you quit, I do. Your guarantee that I'm still working is the fact that you're not. And a blessed guarantee that he is not working is a lot of us trying to do our own thing out here. That's a surefire way that he's resting. Because only one person can work. I'm sorry I'm going to do this to you, Lord, but you're going to work day and night. Because I quit. He's not going to get any rest from me. The only rest periods he gets from me is when I'm working. Dumb me. I'll give it to you all real quick. Romans 5:17. For if by one's man offense, death reigned by one, that's Adam and that's us, how much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, that is, Jesus Christ. Next verse. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, listen to this, righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. It was the work of Christ. In fact, you don't have to worry about him working. He already worked. All he does is remind the Father what he did and say to him, he forms a triangle. He points back to the cross, and he points back to you, and he says, Father, these two are connected. He's in it. And so the Father deals with you, so you're in it. God doesn't deal with you by what he sees you do every day. Did you know that? God deals with you by what Jesus says, his testimony. He said, they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Whose works were those? His testimony, his works that they testified of. It's his work. It's not you going up there and saying, I'm so-and-so, and I know I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They say, well, you cocky little soul, I don't care what you think. We're going to go over here and see what Jesus wrote in the book. And so I live saying, Lord, I ceased in my labors, but you better start writing. Are you sure you put the door, the blood on? Are you sure you wrote my name in blood? He said, I'm sure, but I don't see it, but you better start believing. But you know what happens is that interaction of fellowship. Now in the last, in the 19th verse, for by one man disobedience was made by sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. Now, here's the clincher. By the obedience of who? One more man? Huh? One more man? You included? Is it your obedience that he wants? Is that going to redeem you? Whether it's the Sabbath or any other one? No. By his obedience. So quit. Come into that rest of faith. It's so marvelous. Besides, God felt it was very precious because in 1 Peter 1:18 he said, for as much as I know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but vain conduct received the traditions from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained redemption for us that lasted forever. Hebrews 9:12. Having taken his own blood, presented it to the Father, that was sufficient enough for our redemption to last forever. Eternal redemption. Hallelujah. 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 Everyone in this place that would just love to start keeping the Sabbath and you never dreamed the day would come when you'd love to do anything God asked you to do, stand to your feet. I have a song for us to sing. Two 16. That's the number of the song, by the way. Now we're going to see how many really mean it. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, just the chorus, every hour I need thee. Oh, work for me, my Savior, because I quit. I quit. Every hour I need thee. You know, you can't begin to imagine how much the Father loves that attitude of dependency. Our Father just loves that attitude of dependency. He does. Why does He? Why does He? Because dependency means that I don't do so that He can't do. That's dependency. He wants us to come as little children. A little child doesn't bother about not knowing trigonometry or algebra or any of high math or anything for that matter. He just doesn't worry about it. He doesn't even worry about not being educated. He doesn't even worry about not having a job. He doesn't even worry that tomorrow he might not eat because there's a crisis coming to the world. You know what he does? He's just trusting mommy and daddy. I don't know, I'm going to let them figure out how they're going to do in the crisis. I plan to eat. They don't worry. They don't fret. They don't work. They don't try to figure it out. They don't try to line it all up in their minds and say, now God, the next is this, and Robert and Dad and someone else said that this is now, so I'm working on this. Oh, for goodness sakes, just crucify that thing. Inhibit it from working. Stop. And begin to enjoy the Sabbath of God. Begin to enjoy that rest that's for His people. That rest of the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's a lot of scriptures here. I don't know if I'll ever finish them, but there's a lot of scriptures on the rest and on the Sabbath of God. I have many more here. I just didn't feel to go on with it, but God wants to bring us to a sense of dependency, a knowledge of it. Lord, I need You. Without You, I can't do anything. That is why He has sent His Spirit in our heart. He doesn't just want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit in 1969. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit every day of your life. That's why songs like we were singing were so precious here. Lord, fill Your temple with Your Spirit once again. I long to see Your glory. I long to want Your Spirit to move. But then when you walk out of this building, take the Spirit with you, because without Him, you can't do anything. And begin to depend on Him. Come before Him when you're driving your car to work, when you're coming back, when you're at home, whatever you're doing. Just let your heart be a prayer before the Lord, on and off. Say, Lord, are You still working up there? Because I'm sure ceased. I'm resting. I'm believing. Lord, I'm not going to go by evidence. I'm not going to go by sight. I'm not going to go by what I see. I'm going to go by what You said. You said You'd work, and I'm looking at You. As the eyes of the handmaiden look unto their Lord, so I will look unto the Lord. I will look steadfastly unto the Lord and say, Lord, You work for me because I can't work. You paid for my redemption. You paid for the price. It was Your obedience. It was Your work. It was Your redemption. It was Your faith. It was Your grace. It was Your forgiveness. It was Your everything. Oh, would You just let me keep the Sabbath? Oh, if there's one law You kept, keep that one. Keep the Sabbath. And keep the real Sabbath. Forget the type. That's hard. Keep the real one.